1250 ESPN and 1250ESPN.com presents The Drive with Scott Paulson, Mike Logan, and Chris Mack. We do everything. The voice of Pittsburgh sports. The Drive on 1250 ESPN starts right now.
Very seldom can you get an entire nation to be united in their thought process. You can't even get the same four people around a table in a restaurant to agree to who picks up the tab and who leaves the tip. But everywhere I went in Steeler Nation this weekend, everyone I ran into, old, young, male, female, child, adult, had the same question. And the question was, did Ben do it? Everybody is talking about the Roethlisberger situation in Georgia. Did Ben do it? Went to the Penguin games over the weekend. Pens won five in a row, four in a row coming out of the break. Nobody cares. All they want to know is, did Ben do it?
Matt Cook's Pitt, evil too, by the way.
Pitt's going to be the number two seed going into the Big East tournament. Nobody cares. All they want to know is, did Ben do it?
It's to the point, I don't play anymore, people. People were coming up to me like I was there. Were you with them?
So, what was it like?
I was not there.
At 4 o'clock this afternoon, there'll be a press conference down in Milledgeville, Georgia. The police will hold a press conference and answer questions. We'll cover it for you live. That's 4 o'clock this afternoon. In a few moments, Calvin Dunlap, the lawyer representing Andre McNulty out in Reno. Oh, yeah, there's another case of this from just, oh, how many months ago? Seven?
Yeah.
Eight? Still going on, still open, checkbook still open, amount not written in yet. We'll talk to Mr. Dunlap in a few moments about that. This is going to be the topic of the day. There are other things to talk about as well, but this is going to be the main topic in town here for a few days. And so, let me open it up to my cohabitants in this room for the next 4 hours. How does this affect, no matter the outcome, how does this affect the Pittsburgh Steelers? Let's start there.
It has a definite impact on this football team. Surprisingly, the last time we visited a situation like this was right before training camp, and we thought that it was going to dominate the headlines. Well, to our disbelief, it didn't happen that way. It kind of diminished and went under the rug. Now,
somebody pulled the rug up.
Yes, and it is definitely going to be something that not only the team has to deal with, but the organization is going to have to deal with, because this is something that is serious and it may lead to bigger issues.
Here's the first thing that I think a lot of people thought of, or at least I thought of, is when Bruce Arians was retained. And I don't want to make this strictly an on-field issue, but let's look at it from the on-field perspective. Bruce Arians was retained because Ben Roethlisberger, at least we believe, Ben Roethlisberger said, I don't want to be without Bruce. He's my guy. That gave the keys to the Ferrari, so to speak, that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. It handed those keys to Ben Roethlisberger. It said, this isn't Mike Tomlin's team. This isn't anybody else's team. This isn't Hines Ward's team. This is Ben Roethlisberger's team. And what's he do? Well, we don't know what he did, but at the very least, he expressed some pretty poor judgment.
Well, what he did was he put himself on the front page of every newspaper in America and subsequently put the Pittsburgh Steelers on the front page of every newspaper in America and every website in America, and it's not good news. Once again, you've taken mud and you've tarnished the reputation of the Rooneys and you've tarnished the reputation of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Three times out of the past 4 years, you've had something happen just prior to the Steelers heading into a new season, which is going to play into not only on the field, but off the field for the next several months.
And think about this. Every time he does something bad, he's at the forefront and is the face of this football team. He's won two Super Bowls and still never got that acclaim as being one of the best. Or, you know, he won two Super Bowls. He still didn't get the MVP of the Super Bowl. So he's getting the headlines and, you know, the recognition as the face of this team for all the wrong reasons.
Well, I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter whether criminal charges are filed against him. The public image of Ben Roethlisberger and subsequently the Pittsburgh Steelers has once again been tarnished. Once that happens, it's a slippery slope downhill. No matter what your on-field advantages are. Slippery slope.
The voice of Pittsburgh sports, it is 1250 ESPN, and it's The Drive. Last July, just 8 months ago, the first accusation of sexual assault was levied against Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger by Andrea McNulty and her attorney, Calvin Dunlap, who joins us now on 1250 ESPN. Thanks for your time, Mr. Dunlap. First of all, second of all, I want to ask, have you talked to your client, Andrea McNulty, since Friday's story came out?
Yes, I have.
And what has she had to say about this?
Oh, I can't disclose anything that I discuss with my client.
Calvin, where does your case stand right now?
A number of motions were filed by the defendants in the case, which include Harris employees, and those motions were all denied, including a motion for change of venue to a different county. And two of the defendants, I believe it was, appealed the denial of those change of venue motions to the Nevada Supreme Court. So the matter is stayed pending the decision of the Nevada Supreme Court on whether or not the trial judge was correct in denying that motion.
And how long would it take before that moves along?
It's very, very difficult to tell. It just varies case to case, but it could be any day now or it could be months.
Calvin, can you explain what sexual assault is?
Well, in Nevada, every jurisdiction has a different definition. They've replaced the word rape with sexual assault, which is any sexual penetration.
So it varies state to state or jurisdiction to jurisdiction?
Yes, it varies jurisdiction to jurisdiction and state to state.
And I know you're a busy guy. We don't want to keep you too long. Just one more question.
Sure.
Do you think, and I know you don't know much about the case as it develops in Georgia, but do you think this will have ramifications on your client's case?
I really can't tell at this point. We don't know the true facts, but we certainly are monitoring it.
Thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it, Mr. Dunlap.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Calvin Dunlap from out there in Reno. And to me, when this all started breaking on Friday, that's the very first thing I thought, and it's my first thought today as well.
Yeah.
This case is still up in the air, the one in Reno. It will end up in civil court eventually. It will be a monetary settlement between the quarterback and the claimant, Andrew McNulty. And from the outsider's viewpoint, once again, not a lawyer, but from outsider's viewpoint, looking at this thing in Georgia, cha-ching is the word that comes
right
to mind, because it does, no matter what you say, right, it does change what happened in Reno.
The penalty that they originally sought, Dunlap and Andrea McNulty, was $440,000. That's got to be at least
tripled. And for Steeler fans,
tripled.
Be honest, Steeler fans looked at that, most of us looked at that and thought, well, here's a woman that's just out for cash,
mm-hmm,
all right? She's out for cash, trapped a guy, he's got some money. Obviously, her story's got holes in it, it took too long to develop, whatever. That all changed for me on Friday. I got news for you as a Steelers fan. I look at this and I think to myself, well, doesn't mean to me that something happened in Reno, but it certainly does lean me that way. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It certainly leans me that way. And as much as I'd like to keep my focus, and once again, this guy is completely innocent. Completely innocent until proven guilty. Let's keep
right
that in mind. But he's not innocent in the court of public opinion, because the rest of us all weekend long, this is all anybody was talking about, and it's going to go on for weeks now, all anybody was talking about was, well, I guess I was wrong about my judgment about that guy.
Changing everyone's opinion about what happened to him the first time in last year before training camp. I got numerous phone calls and text messages over the weekend with people who are completely swayed now in the other direction. Before it was, oh, we feel sympathy for Ben because, you know, someone's accusing him. And now it's to the point they're like, well, obviously he did do that out there, because now we see a pattern of it.
Yep.
And this doesn't, the Nevada case, the Reno case, I think we all, maybe we didn't see it, but I think it resolved itself, didn't resolve itself. It's not resolved yet, as you just heard Calvin Dunlap say. They're waiting to hear from the Supreme Court of Nevada. But I think it filtered its way through the news cycle and back out so quickly that we kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
This thing, if it does turn into a trial, is going to drag and drag and drag. And Ben's already, quote-unquote, lawyered up, as they say. He's hired the guy who represented Ray Lewis in the murder case down in Florida and the same guy who represented T.I. on his federal weapons charge.
At 4 o'clock this afternoon, there'll be a press conference down there in Milledgeville, Georgia. We'll cover that one for you live in the next hour. Ari Height from Channel 4 is down there covering the situation. We'll talk to him also live down in Milledgeville, Georgia. We'll take your phone calls at 412-333-ESPN. It's an interesting story on many, many different levels. Many different levels. Chief among which is, what, at least to us, is what happens to the Pittsburgh Steelers on the field. If you're an employee, and I mean employer, and your employee shows a pattern of putting the company's name into the mud, no matter how important he is to the company, do you at some point in time say, you know, enough's enough? In the very least, do you bring Dan Rooney back from Ireland to have a sit-down with your quarterback?
You have to do something now, regardless of the outcome of this case. Because unlike the first time, where Chris just mentioned this story was basically forgotten about, this one will not be forgotten. This will be remembered throughout the season.
This is not a hotel worker who waited in a year for this. This is a 20-year-old college student who went to the police nearly immediately, went to the hospital nearly immediately, and it's looking more and more, and we don't have facts, so let's not jump to conclusions, but I'm talking about how it looks to the public. It looks like she was taken advantage of. Whether she was or not will be played out, but at this point in time, you have to say that's what it looks like.
And here's the thing. You mentioned Dan Rooney coming back from Ireland to sit down with Ben and his people and say, listen, what he needs to say, not just talk to Ben about his decision-making process and his judgment. He needs to reinforce the fact to Ben that this is our team. This is the Rooney family's team. This is, below that, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin are in charge. And below that, yeah, some on-field decisions come to you. But I really feel like too much free rein has been given to Ben Roethlisberger on the field to the point that I think it may have gone to his head a little bit, to where he feels like he can make decisions off the field that won't have ramifications.
I can't answer for him. I'm not a 28-year-old millionaire. I don't know how they think. 412-333-ESPN. George joins us now to talk about this breaking news. What's up, George?
Hey, guys.
George.
How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Hey, best-case scenario for Ben. They have a press conference today, and nothing comes of this. He goes back to the team, and Mike is a former player. How do the teammates look at him?
Great question.
Yeah, you know what? We want to support him as much as we can as a teammate. But then you have to go deeper than that. I have a daughter. People who have daughters that are on that team are going to start wondering what really did happen. They're going to want to find out what's going on with their teammate. Your first reaction is to support him because you want to be there. But there's going to come a time where you really want to understand what is going on with Big Ben. And I think a lot of guys on that team, you know, he's developed a great relationship with his offensive line. They do a lot of things with him. They travel with him. There were reports that a couple of guys were with him that night when things were going on. But there was already talk about players on that team who necessarily didn't get along with Ben or agree with the things that he has done in the past or his choices or the way he's carried himself. So guys are going to start distancing themselves from him because every time there's trouble seeming to follow him. And these are big headline cases. You hear about things that are going on in this small city that don't really get mentioned in the headlines about him being out at different nightclubs or restaurants and areas around the city where we talk as a city, but it's just not national news. And guys that are around him and out with him, they take that on too. So you might notice that guys who used to go out with him are not around him no more. So this has major implications on his relationship with teammates.
And now Ponikarovsky comes ahead of the right wing to Evgeny Malkin. Malkin shoots it. Score! The puck jumps over the pad of Thomas into the goal. Evgeny Malkin has scored his 23rd of the year, and the Penguins have taken a 2-1 lead.
Paul Steigerwald with a call on FSN yesterday. The game winner, as Evgeny Malkin scores, you heard, through a Ponikarovsky screen as well. Let's give credit to Pony there. Dan Potash joins us to talk about, well, we can talk about the four games they've won since the break, Danny, and we can talk about Ponikarovsky, and we can talk about Leopold, but first and foremost is Matt Cook. Have you heard anything yet about, Dan Bylsma a couple hours ago had heard nothing, but have you heard anything yet about if there will be any punishment for his hit?
Actually, I thought you wanted to talk about how good Gino has become in his post-game interviews.
He's getting pretty fluent.
He's getting very fluent. No, guys, to be honest with you, nothing has come down yet. I actually took a quick look at some of my go-to websites, if you will, especially north of the border in Canada, and nothing yet. But remember, a lot of the general managers and league officials are down in Florida for their annual meeting, and I'm sure that this was already going to be a topic of discussion. That as it relates to Matt Cook, well before this incident happened on Sunday afternoon, the league was planning to gather material and have people speak on the matter of illegal and legal hits to the head as it pertains to collisions in the National Hockey League. And I'm sure they had some video evidence prepared for their display. Now you can add the confrontation between Cook and Savard from yesterday. And it's unfortunate that something like that has to happen. But, you know, I've seen the replay a few times, and, you know, Savard didn't see him coming, and it certainly looks like a shoulder hit the head. And it's just something that, for the better of any sport, as far as preventing injury, that just you've got to draw a line. They've done a pretty good job, guys, of drawing that line and protecting the quarterback in the National Football League. You get anywhere even close to him in his dreams, and there's a penalty.
Well,
I would think that something like this is going to have to really stamp its mark on the National Hockey League sooner than later.
I was going to say, do you think they're going to make Matt Cook an example then?
Well, you know, the timing of it, obviously, since it's been a hot topic ever since you know, Booth got hit with the Florida Panthers by Richards earlier this year. That was a big deal as far as the injury itself. It was knocked out for 40, 45 games. It's been a topic of conversation ever since then, if not before then, but maybe more so now. But now the timing of the GM's meeting, the meeting of the general managers down in Florida, plus this hit, and that Matt Cook has had a couple of these suspensions before, most notably earlier this season, I would think that there's a good chance that he could face a little bit a stiffer penalty than maybe he would have a couple years ago.
So we could be looking at the Matt Cook rule, similar to the Hines Ward rule in football.
Oh, I don't know if it'll. I don't know if it'll go that far. I don't think it'll go down as the Matt Cook rule, but you know, obviously, this is just the timing is kind of unique considering it happened yesterday and the meetings there today. I don't think he'll be singled out as the guy that's going to change the game. No, I don't think that, or change the rule. However, it's the most recent knock that unless something happens tonight or the day after, I think that his will be looked at a little bit more closely.
Danny, what's your assessment of Pony so far?
You know, it's kind of hard to judge him only after a couple of games, but I like what I see so far, maybe because of the fact that Billy Guerin has been out of the lineup, so he's been used in some different situations and maybe more so uniquely on the power play. And, you know, a couple games is kind of hard. You know, if you remember Marian Hossa coming over to the Penguins, he was a little quiet out of the gate, then he got hurt, and then he came back again, was a little quiet, and then really started to heat up and had a nice little thing going with Sidney Crosby throughout the playoffs that led to that first run against the Detroit Red Wings. So I'm not saying that we need to wait till the postseason to see what the UCane train can really do, but a little bit more than a couple games I think is only fair for all of us. But I love his size. I love his speed. I love his strength, and I think you know, he's been around the block a few times. It's not some fresh kid off the pond. He knows what it takes to be a force in this league. And if the Penguins can get, you know, some production out of him down the stretch, that's exactly what they wanted.
Dan Potash is our guest from FSN. It's The Drive at 1250 ESPN. The role players have really stepped it up coming out of the break, Danny. Dupuis is on fire. Fedotenko is playing the best hockey I've seen him play in months. And so it opens up the question, what do you do with all these guys when Bill Guerin gets back? Maybe Matt Cook helped us with that. I don't know. Maybe he'll have to sit down for a couple of games courtesy of the league, and that'll help you with that decision. But that aside, let's say Cook is still in the lineup come this weekend. What do you do with Dupuy?
That's true. That's a good point. And Dupuy looked really good on that top line with Kunitz and Crosby. But I think this is where a coach's decision will have to come into play. I'm sure that Dan Bosman has got an idea of what he'd like to do. I'm not sure if some of the positioning will actually trickle down where someone like a Craig Adams would be the guy left out. However, he's kind of flexed his muscle and played extremely well over the last couple of games. So is Mike Rupp. So guys that were, I don't want to say quiet, but they weren't exactly creating headlines for themselves before we got to the Olympic break, have really stepped it up. It's not as if these guys maybe said to themselves, hey, you know, I need to step it up here a little bit over the last 20 games. I think they all collectively felt as a team that they're much better than they were going into the break. Maybe we've seen the start of something special here with this four-game run, but you're right. I kind of scratched my head a little bit on the way home last night. I was kind of thinking about what they would do when Billy Guerin comes back. I would think that the injury he has will not keep him out of the lineup much longer. Resting him yesterday, now three more days, as far as the game is concerned. The soonest we would see him back would be Thursday. It would almost be a week out of action, so maybe that's enough time to get him back. And, yeah, some interesting decisions have to be made. But I love this comment that Bill Cowher always used to talk about when you've got too many guys that are playing really well, and not enough room in the lineup for all of them. These are good problems to have.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good problem to have. All right, we'll give you one last chance to rectify this Matt Cook situation. You don't think that was a dirty hit?
Oh, no. I absolutely. I think that it was a hit that once he goes back and looks on, he could say, okay, the shoulder to the head. I don't know if it was necessarily the elbow to the head. I think it was more along the lines of above that with the shoulder. I think he probably would look at it and say, okay, do I think he did it on purpose? Absolutely not. I don't think he went looking to hurt somebody. I think he went looking to announce his presence with authority. I don't think he went looking to knock Savard out of the game with a concussion. No, I don't see Matt as that kind of guy. He's an agitator. He's an energy guy, but I did not think he was looking to hurt him. But, yeah, you know what? Blindside hit in a player, when you know when someone's looking or not, and I think he was able to tell that Savard didn't see him coming. So I know it's easier said than done, but you got to hit the brakes.
Great to talk to you, Danny. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Danny. Dan Potash from FSN. Yeah, he had time. He had time to pull up.
I was going
to
say, though,
he knew what he was doing. He hit the guy in the head. He's a headhunter. He's a dirty player. He's a cheap shot artist. All that having been said, he is great on that third line. He's a great element to the team. The team needs him in the lineup. But that side of his play, I've never agreed with. I've never liked it. I'm never a fan of his. And as an analyst, if you look at that tape and you want to argue with me that that wasn't a cheap shot, a headhunter kind of shot that doesn't deserve 10 games, I'll sit and argue that one for you all day.
Well,
and given another stride, he's got him with an elbow because he's bringing the elbow.
He's got the flipper
with all his might. He wants to catch him in the head with an elbow.
Here's the thing. He doesn't deserve 10 games if you're going to use every other head hit in the NHL this year as an example and as a standard.
Keep in mind, he's already sat.
He sat two for the hit on Anisimov.
Very same thing. So that
but
you take that
how many games did Mike Richards sit for his hit
on
David
Booth?
How
far away is the Boston rematch? How many games is that down the schedule? 4 or 5?
The day after St. Patrick's, March 18th. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I bet he gets a 5-game suspension because they do not want him on the ice when they're in Boston. The NHL doesn't want
it. The Bruins do anything. They didn't do anything yesterday.
I think, and that was ridiculous. They should have. But I think the Bruins were thinking, we need at least a point out of this. If two, why give them a power play? But when they get back up to Boston, let's keep in mind, Ulf Samuelsson, Cam Neely. I mean, there's a history going on here between the black and gold and the black and gold. So I would say, if I'm the league, I'm sitting in for at least 5, if not 10. You got it. You should have drawn the line with the Richards hit. You should have drawn the line with the Richards hit. You didn't. You've been catching crap for it ever since as a league. I think they put their foot down this time.
I think that you talk about players handling their conflicts on the ice. Boston has to do something about this. For me,
right.
I don't think the league should necessarily step in and suspend them for that many games.
But the thing is, they won't go after Matt Cook. They'll go after Sid Crosby. Yeah. They'll go after Geno Malkin. And you won't catch, we talked about this off the air, you won't catch either of those players, well, certainly not Sid, in the same situation that you saw Savard yesterday, because he's got more awareness of the ice than Mark Savard does. He wouldn't have his head down like that. You won't catch him. Trust me, others have tried. But I think that the league sits him down. I think they sit him down for at least five to take it through the Boston game, if not more.
I don't think... I agree it was a dirty hit. I don't think Matt Cook is... Well, we can argue about the term dirty and what that implies.
Would you want Hines Ward to play un-Hines Ward-like? No, you wouldn't as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Hines Ward plays a particular style of wide receiver that no one else in the league can duplicate. Has this got him in trouble with penalty flags and fines a couple of times? Yes, it has. Has it garnered a rule that bears his name in the National Football League? Yes, it has. We're debating the questionable hit from Matt Cook on Mark Savard of the Boston Bruins, and I think it was not malicious.
What's the word you want to use? It was not malicious.
It's not malicious. I think it was...
Fun-loving?
No, no. It was a statement hit.
It was tender.
It was a statement hit. To let you know,
right.
Keep your eye on your luggage. That's what it was.
Here's the thing. And you can tell me how Hines feels when he goes out there and looks to lay out Ed Reed across the middle or Ray Lewis. Is he looking to injure that person and take them out of the game? Or is he looking to simply hurt that guy? Sting him. Make him remember Hines Ward.
Yes.
Okay, he's the latter, right?
The latter part.
He's looking to make them sting and remember Hines. That's what Matt Cook does. There are guys that when Matt Cook is on the ice, they're skating around with a pair of eyes in the back of their head.
Right.
Their ears are perked up because they know Cookie is out there. And I don't think Matt Cook goes out there to tear someone's ACL. I don't think Matt Cook goes out there to knock someone unconscious. I think Matt Cook goes out there to hurt, to make someone sting and remember, better keep your head up across the blue line, or else, as Mike put it, you'll lose your luggage.
Exactly.
I don't think he's going out to intentionally injure people.
333 ESPN. Rob joins us now to talk about the Cookie hit. What's up, Rob? Rob, you with us? Thank you for calling. He does go out there to injure people. Does game after game. Knee on knee, elbow to the head, time after time, he does it.
I thought it was a shoulder to the head.
Yeah. It was a shoulder to the head, and given another half a stride, it was an elbow to the head because he's got the elbow swinging in that. And you look at the video.
I'm not arguing.
He's got the elbow swinging, and he catches him with his shoulder, but it's only because he's 7 inches closer. It's definitely on its way up. He's done it time and time again. He's that kind of player. I'm not saying that you don't need that kind of player on your team and that he doesn't bring, and like you said, people definitely know he's on the ice when he's on the ice, just as they knew Jarkko Ruutu was, just as they knew Ulf Samuelsson was, and both of those guys were the same kind of guy, and I'll describe them, and I loved Ulfie when he played, I'll describe them the same way. They're cheap shot artists, and there is a market for it in the NHL, they pay good money for it, it's a guy you want on your team so that the other team is shaken. Every once in a while, the line gets crossed. It got crossed yesterday, and a guy who is injury-prone and... concussion prone, got caught in the head with a shoulder.
But when Cook
was
comes...
it illegal? No, it was not. Was not illegal in any way, shape, or form. There's nothing about it in the books that say you can't do that. Did he get a penalty? No, he did not. What was his intention is a question that we cannot answer. Right. I can argue one side, you can argue the other, but we don't know what his intention is. I just know Matt Cook's history with the Pittsburgh
Penguins.
When
Matt Cook comes up to the blue line, comes back to the blue line, I should say. He was back-checking at the time. When Matt Cook... comes back on his own blue line. He doesn't see Mark Savard, number 91, the guy who's had a couple concussions in his past.
Exactly.
He sees dude with his head down at the blue line.
Right.
I'm going to clock him, and he's going to remember the next time he comes into the zone, he's going to be a step slower.
Exactly.
He doesn't look to knock anyone out.
Right.
I think you can go back to Ulf. Ulf didn't want to rip up Cam Neely's leg.
Oh?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he did.
You asked Ulf that and he told you he did?
No, I didn't.
Okay, then you can't tell me what Ulf was thinking when he did that. Al joins us now, 333 ESPN.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell you what Matt Cook is thinking when he's doing something, whether he's intending to injure anybody or not. But everyone who plays that game will tell you if it's a knee-to-knee hit, what the result will be. You know what it's going to be when you do it. And the same thing with slew footing, which he's a master at as well. What's up, Al?
Hey guys. Look, bottom line is, I think if the roles are reversed a little bit here, I think we'd all have maybe a little different outlook on this. I thought it was a good hit. I don't think anything illegal about it. He's going to sit. I think he's going to sit. But, you know, before we get a little out of whack here saying that the NHL is being a little too soft.
So you're saying roles reversed. If Sean Avery blindsides Sid Crosby and knocks him out where he's strapped onto a board and you take him off the ice, Penguin fans are going to go, no, that wasn't a dirty hit. He didn't have any injury intent.
Let me tell you something. That happened. Somebody better be holding on to Rogan.
That's what I'm saying. So don't tell me if roles are reversed, people are going to forgive it. They're not going to forgive it. A dirty hitter is a dirty hitter, team to team to team. Every team's got one. You have to have one to be a championship team. Sorry, but that's the way it is in the NHL. Same thing in the NFL. You got to have one. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have one on your team, but let's
but I don't
not
know, cheap shot artist, yeah, which is what you called him earlier. I don't know.
He is a cheap shot artist, and I'll defend that every single day of the week.
So if you hit a guy knee to knee
when he's not looking, if you slew foot a guy in front of the net as he does time and time again, and if you did what he did yesterday, which was blindside a guy who had just shot a puck, that's a cheap shot artist.
But don't you have to be aware of that? Doesn't Savard have to be aware of that? We talked about if it was Sid or Gino, they would be aware of that.
Yeah.
They
have to be aware of it, but there's also got to be self-policing, Mike. And you can say, oh, yeah, it's part of the sport. It happens all the time. It happens in every single game. I'm with you. It does. I've seen enough games to know it does. But as the hitter, you have to know whether you're hitting a guy. You can accomplish the same thing. Taking him off his skates, hitting him in the shoulder. You can accomplish the same thing. Knock him on his butt. He skates across the ice and says, oh, man, I better keep my head up, rather than hit him in the head. Rich joins us now. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm agreeing with both sides. But
way to play us against each other, Rich. Nice.
But come on. It's hockey. It's football. You got to keep your head on a swivel regardless of the position. Plain and simple. Now, there are guys who are cheap shot artists. Pittsburgh Steelers fans like to call out the name Jack Tatum.
Sure.
And there are guys who are just stingers, which we like to say Mel Blunt.
Or Ryan Clark, for that matter. You say Ryan Clark leads with his head. It causes injuries to people. Is he going out there trying to hurt people? Don't know, because you don't know what you're not inside his head.
You know what, though? The more you watch the tape, and this is like this Zapruder film already, but the more you watch this tape, I don't know where else Matt Cook is supposed to hit him on this play, because his chest is not exposed. Otherwise, he hits Savard in the back. I don't know. Head hits technically are legal in the NHL with a shoulder.
I think he should stop, tap him on the shoulder, and say, excuse me.
Excuse me, Mark.
Mind,
can you turn around?
Could you turn around so I could hit you in a legal place? Yeah, that's it. And by the way, while you're looking at the tape and it's going a millisecond at a time, yeah, it's easy to sit there and say, yeah, I could pull up and I could not hit the guy. But when it's going 120 miles an hour like it was yesterday, I will give you that.
And let's get this correct. And Matt Cook had it predetermined in his mind that he was going to go up and deliver a blow to him.
Right.
So once you get that in your mind, as the athlete and play is going on, you can't change the thought of it. And you cannot hope that this guy is going to get in a position to where you're going to hit him to not hurt him.
If I agree to that, will you agree to the fact that he's bringing his elbow up to hit that guy in the chops?
I will agree. He is bringing the elbow up.
All right.
But he didn't get the elbow full extended. The flipper is only halfway cocked.
Right. He catches him between the elbow and the shoulder.
Right. All right. It's 1250 ESPN.
1250 ESPN at 1250ESPN.com presents The Drive with Scott Paulson, Mike Logan, and Chris Mack. The voice of Pittsburgh sports.
In just a little more than an hour, right around an hour from now, you'll hear it live right here on 1250 ESPN. Milledgeville, Georgia Police and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation will meet with the media to brief us on the latest in the Ben Roethlisberger case. Joining us for his perspective on that, John Clayton, our NFL insider from ESPN.com. John, what do the Steelers do about this if it starts to drag out? Well, regardless of whether it drags out or not, what do they do about this right now?
Well, right now they just have to wait. I mean, wait for an hour, see what the police are going to do, probably offer whatever support to Ben, but also call Ben in, find out what happened and where this is all going. And you kind of get the anticipation that there might be some charges being filed just from the standpoint that he did hire a high-powered attorney, Ray Lewis's attorney from the case way back about 10 years ago. So you would anticipate there is the chance that there may be some charges filed on this. I don't see there's going to be any suspension by the team, but let's put it this way. They obviously have to be proactive in this just from the standpoint that whether he's innocent or guilty, whatever. He now continues to put himself in bad situations, and this obviously is a bad situation.
If you're Dan Rooney, do you come back to have a sit-down with him and try and figure out what's going on in his head?
100% yes. I mean, Dan Rooney, Art Rooney, Mike Tomlin, everybody. Because, it's pretty clear that, in the off seasons, he's just a little bit loose in how he handles himself. Last year, obviously, it wasn't as if he conditioned himself well in the off season. He was everywhere. Now, again, player's ability, he has the right to do whatever he wants to do as long as it doesn't negatively affect anybody else. But the fact now that, maybe he needs some guidance on what to do, because one thing is, if you're a pro athlete, I mean, you are a target, but also too, you get a lot of latitude in what you're allowed to do. And so now I have to think that they need to sit down, because whether he's found that nothing really happened in this thing, he continues to put himself in bad spots, and that's something that I think, when you see repeated problems, that's where the concern has to be, and that's where he needs sit downs.
John, does this incident affect the Steelers' draft coming up or their free agency choices?
Probably not, because, you would still anticipate that he's going to be able to play. One thing is, if this is going to be a big case, these big cases don't go overnight. I mean, this would be a case that would probably drag on into the fall. It would be a distraction, just like the lawsuit that he had on the incident before. This is going to drag on. But, they would have to be, if they find there's any kind of a guilt involved there, then you'd have to think there might be some kind of a short-term team suspension or something like that. But, I mean, the anticipation is going to be that he's going to be the quarterback of the team, obviously, though distracted. And, I don't see them necessarily looking at quarterback, particularly this year. I mean, having been to the combine, watched the two quarterback workouts, once you start to get past Jimmy Clausen and Sam Bradford, there's no immediate help in the draft from any of these quarterbacks. I don't necessarily think Colt McCoy has the strong arm, and he's only 6'1". And then you look at the rest of the group, other than maybe Dan LaFever in Central Michigan, there's not a guy that I look in that draft that could be better than a third quarterback this year.
John, with the things that have happened since Mike Tomlin has been hired, there's been a lot of talk about whose team this is. It was reported that Ben Roethlisberger saved the job of offensive coordinator Bruce Arians. Do you think, when you look at this team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, do you think it is Ben's team, or does Tomlin need to do something to take this team back?
Well, I think he probably needs to do a little bit more to take some of the team back. I mean, it's Ben's team, but I think there's also some strains in this team, because I don't know. I mean, there are, I think, players on the team that don't necessarily, they follow him, but I don't think that they are the closest with Ben. I mean, Ben, obviously he was with teammates, and so obviously those guys are pretty close, but, this is Ben's team, but it's also Mike Tomlin's team, and I think as a head coach, you have to take authority. Now, certainly there's always going to be a debate on what to do, particularly with a successful offense. I mean, it may not be what the organization necessarily wants. They want more of a running offense, but the passing offense has been successful for the most part. I still think in the end they've got to try to look and, Mike Tomlin just has to, now say, listen, he needs the big sit down with Ben. Obviously, Ben had to sit down with him. I do believe that he did push to keep Bruce Arians, and I do think that, that may have been the thing that did keep it, Ben doing it. But, this is Tomlin's team. He's the coach. He's the boss. He has to show the authority.
John Clayton is our guest from ESPN at ESPN.com here on The Drive. It's 1250 ESPN. John, this surprises me, this situation. Many people around town are saying, oh, it doesn't surprise me. It's obvious this guy's got his thing for this girls, these girls. He gets out in these clubs. But this team in the past has always avoided guys with character issues, and we're proud about that. Fans were proud of it, too. We'd love to see that guy come to Pittsburgh because he's a great player. But, the Steelers, he's not that kind of guy. He's not a Steelers guy. He's got character issues. Well, now you've got a guy on your roster who perhaps has character issues. What do they do about that?
I mean, that's the thing that, I mean, did we really see this coming? That's the one thing that, if there are character issues, were there enough things in his past that showed it? And I don't think it definitely showed. I mean, certainly, celebrity can change some people. Celebrity can make them a little bit different. Certainly, more discipline is going to be needed in Ben Roethlisberger's life from henceforth. I mean, depending on where this thing ends up going, you still look at the character of Ben, and I still think for the most part, you're going to see a positive review of that. But there may be some things there that obviously have to be talked about. And, you know, again, he's still innocent until proven guilty. He hasn't had charges filed on him yet. We'll know in an hour if he does. But, you know, he's a young guy. He's single. And obviously guys can make mistakes, and he has to watch to make sure those mistakes don't negatively affect other people, because if they do, there's severe consequences for it, both in courts, on the team, and in the National Football League.
You know, I like working with Mike Logan, and I like Chris Mack, and I like this radio show, and I like my name being associated with it, but in the future, I see more money as Scott Paulson being the Ben Roethlisberger guy who says it's time to go. What? How much money do you think that sort of thing pays?
You mean as far as...
To be the guy to walk into the bar with him, see the trouble coming, and say, you know what, it's time to go.
To me, let's put it this way, you know, if to hire an attorney as powerful as he hired, you know, he's now paying hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That would do me fine.
Yeah, so
I would
mean,
like
let's put
that.
It this way. If he needs to have somebody there as a bodyguard, I would have to think that he could afford $70,000-$80,000. You know, you probably don't have to pay that much. It may only be $40,000 or so. But, you know, he has, with his salary, he's one of the highest paid players in the league, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. You know, he has the wherewithal if he needs it to do it, and maybe he needs to do that.
Here, let me try this on you. Dude, limo's waiting. Let's go.
That's okay. It. I mean, that's write the check. I mean, you know, what, $80,000? How much would that be a day? Would it be like $2,000 a day or something like that? Or whatever?
That's a great rate.
Yes. Yeah, it would be.
I like that rate.
Write
that'll
the
work.
Check.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Thank you, John. Good to talk to you.
It would save him more money in the end than where it's heading right now.
Yeah.
I'm bringing you into the meeting. Thank you.
All right.
It's 1250 ESPN.
1250 ESPN, the voice of Pittsburgh sports. You're listening to The Drive. Scott Paulson, Chris Mack, and Mike Logan. Been talking about Big Ben. Been accused of sexual assault down in Milledgeville, Georgia. We've been getting a lot of opinions about this. People feeling certain ways about Big Ben. This is the second time in 7 months or 8 months that he's been accused with a sexual crime. Let's keep in mind that he is innocent. We don't have all the facts right now, but as your quarterback for your football team, are you a little tired of Big Ben getting in this trouble?
Well, let me put it this way. You don't want to bring Anquan Boldin onto the Pittsburgh Steelers because he's a distraction. You want to bring Terrell Owens onto this team, but because Lord knows he's just absolute horror in the locker room, and he'll be a distraction. We'll be able to keep our heads in the game. You got a guy that's been accused of sexual assault twice in 7 months on your team already, and you won't look at other people because they're distractions?
Getting the biggest paycheck.
Getting the biggest paycheck and maybe making
triple
coaching
digits
decisions while we're at it.
Yeah.
Ari Height was sent down to the lovely Milledgeville, Georgia area to cover this story for WTE Channel 4 upstairs. Ari joins us now, and I say that not facetiously. It probably is a very lovely place. Tell us something about Milledgeville, Ari.
This is a lovely place. When I first heard you say that, actually, my first reaction was, hey, I know you're being sarcastic, but this is a beautiful little town.
Yep.
It is a little town, only about 20 square miles in all, only about maybe a little less than 20,000 people who live here. And I can tell you the whole place has been turned upside down by what's happened here. I mean, I'm counting right now. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different satellite trucks here from around the country. That's media from around the country that has descended on this poor small town. The people are looking at us like we're from a different planet. They really don't know how to react to all of us walking around here.
And you wonder what happens to the alleged victim when and if she is revealed. If that many trucks showed up in this town just to see the town as you're reporting live, what happens to her life?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to a lot of her friends since I've been down here, and we're not going to identify her, not at this point. Her friends are all telling me that her life is in a complete shambles now, ever since this happened. They say that she's almost gone into hiding. She took her Facebook page down. Her best friends have taken their Facebook pages down. She's turned off her cell phone. The college that she goes to, it's a little college called Georgia College and State University, only about 6,000 students or so. So everybody knows everybody else. So for her, it's not even the media that's calling her so much. It's all of her fellow students who are calling her just to find out what happened. Hey, what happened in that club on Thursday night? What happened? What'd you do with Ben Roethlisberger? And so she just got overwhelmed And people are telling me that she's, like I said, almost gone into hiding. She's not talking to many of her friends anymore, only a few of her closest friends. And one of her friends told me that, you know, she feels like she may have done the wrong thing just by coming forward just because of what's happened to her life since then.
Ari Heider, Channel 4 with us on The Drive. It's 1250 ESPN. Ari, what is the general opinion of just not people that know the alleged victim, but townsfolk in general?
Everybody has a different opinion. I mean, I can tell you, it doesn't really matter where you walk around here. Everybody has a different opinion, but everybody does have an opinion. This is all anybody is talking about in this town. And I've heard rumors. I mean, like you can imagine with any place, anything like this would happen. I think people are just making stuff up now about what may have happened that night, what Ben may have done, what may this victim may have done, what may have happened earlier in the night at a different club. Everybody's got something different to say, and people are approaching me, you know, because they see the camera, and they're telling me, hey, did you hear this? And, you know, it's stuff, obviously, that I can't even repeat, but it's gotten to the point now where it's almost laughable, the stuff that's going around. And meanwhile, the police have said very little about what actually happened. They had a news conference on Friday, and we're expecting another news conference in about a half an hour or so from now. And hopefully we'll get some more details as to what they found out from their investigation.
Do you take anything from the fact, Ari, that they said on Friday that they would continue their investigation through this week and that now, again, on Monday, they're holding another press conference? A lot of people are assuming that this means there will be charges brought against Roethlisberger.
No, I think that would be jumping to conclusions to say that. In fact, I think it's equally as possible that they're holding a news conference today because there is so much media in town and we're all calling them to find out what the latest is. And so I think they're holding, it's very possible they're just holding a news conference to give us whatever it is they have, rather than answer each individual call all the time. It's put out one blanket, hey, 4 o'clock news conference today. And so that way they can come out and tell us. I mean, it's also possible they may come out and say, we are charging Ben Roethlisberger. And it's also possible they may come out and say, we have finished our investigation. We have found no wrongdoing here. And so we are ending our investigation and not charging anyone. So I wouldn't read into the fact they're holding a news conference today. I think anything is possible.
Ari, has anything come out about the victim's history or past? The last time this happened with Big Ben, there was a lot about the victim's history that came out.
There are very different circumstances here than there was to the one that happened out in Nevada. This alleged accuser went right to the police that night. She was taken to the hospital. Those are very different things that happened than happened the last time. The only thing that I've gotten from people is that, and these are just her friends, so keep that in mind, only her friends are talking to me, and so they're all saying very nice things about her. They're saying that she's just a very sweet, down-to-earth girl. They say that this is nothing like her. She's not the kind of person that would make something like that up. But then again, what would you expect her friends to say? Her friends are going to say that. We're not going to have people come out and approach a camera and say, oh, you know, that girl, she was looking to do this the whole time. She heard Ben Roethlisberger was in town, and she decided that this was an easy payday. You know, nobody's going to come out and say that. So the things that I've heard about her are that she's this very nice, sweet, down-to-earth girl. But, again, that's coming from her friends, and I would expect them to say that.
Guilty or innocent, what do you see Big Ben's future with the Pittsburgh Steelers being?
Yeah, I really have no idea. I heard you guys talking before I came on, and you were talking about, you know, this is the second crime in 7 months. Keep in mind, through all of this, through both cases, Ben has never been charged. I mean, it's not even a matter where he was charged and then found not guilty. He's never been charged with anything in either case. So right now he is a suspect in this case, but they're still investigating as to whether a crime even occurred. They don't know that yet. So we're still waiting to hear just from the very basics of this. This is the kind of case, I think, that if the person that was being accused wasn't Ben Roethlisberger or somebody like that, we probably wouldn't hear anything about it. This is I don't think it's unusual that a woman would come forward with a sexual assault accusation and then the police would investigate. I mean, right now we're simply in the investigation stage, so I don't think we can jump to conclusions as to Ben's guilt or innocence just yet.
Great point, Ari, and thank you for taking the time, man.
Ben, no problem. Have a good one, guys. By the way, I want to point out real quickly, it's about 75 degrees, perfectly sunny down here. Beautiful weather.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to go punch Cropper now just because you said that.
No, feel free, really.
Ari Height from Channel 4 down in Milledgeville, Georgia. And it makes a good point. Not charged with anything
right. In
either case, but still, that part to me is not that important. What is important here is the public perception of the guy. And the public perception of the team. And so I'm going to bring this up one more time. If in the future, a superstar player who, let's say, is a free agent, is available on the open market, and I hear this crap about he's not going to be the type that would fit in with the Pittsburgh Steelers because he's got character issues or he's bringing problems to the team, all bets are off now.
your star quarterback, has character issues. And he is a distraction to the team. So all bets are off from now on. If you want to bring a superstar in here and you want to give me the excuse that, oh, no, character issue guy, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
As a Steelers fan, I'm not saying anybody in the organization is thinking this, but as a Steelers fan, does it affect what you want to do with Ben going forward? He's under contract. I don't think they're going to do anything with him right now. But regardless of the outcome of this thing, does it affect the way...
In other words, do I not root for him because I think he's a bad guy now? Is that what we're saying?
Do you think the Steelers should consider, if this comes out in any more negative light than it already has, if you're the Steelers, do you consider cutting ties with Ben? If you're a fan, do you want to see that happen?
Here's what I want to see happen. I want to see a contract drawn up. If it already doesn't have this language in it, that has specific language about how you treat, how you are acting in public, and not just detrimental to the team, actions detrimental to the team. I don't want that blanket statement. I want specific things. And if it takes a Pac-Man Jones situation where you have to hire people to be to run roughshod on this guy and put him in the car at 11:30 at night so he goes to church the next morning, then that's what you do. It's $100 million of investment here. Right. If it was any other business, in any other, so let's say it's UPMC and your head of surgery making $100 million is running around the streets chasing after 20-year-old girls. Let's say. Don't you think that $100 million you invested in that chief of surgery would come right back to your pocket, right, and you'd have a discussion and it'd be written out?
It's time to, and regardless if... We're kind of convicting him regardless of the outcome right now, but to put yourself in these situations. We talked about Casey Hampton having a weight clause in his contract when we were getting ready to sign him to a new deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's a reoccurring thing. This is the second time you've been accused. You have to remove yourself from those situations in there. So, yeah, let's come back to the table. It's time to renegotiate
and
put that verbiage in there.
Yeah. By the way, I will be the guy to go out to nightclubs with Ben and tell him the car's ready and it's time to go. I will not be the guy to go to a Wing Shack with Casey and say, stop eating.
No, you lose a hand that way.
That's way too much money involved there for me. It's 1250 ESPN.
Big day in Milledgeville, Georgia. We'll hear from the police and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation in about a half hour right here on 1250 ESPN, the voice of Pittsburgh sports. It's The Drive. Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com with us. Mike, I want to ask what you think about all of this, but I'll start off. We just got a statement handed to us from the Steelers, actually from Art Rooney II, Steelers president. It says, quote, all of us in the Steelers family are concerned about the recent incident involving Ben Roethlisberger in Georgia. We cannot comment on any of the specifics until law enforcement's investigation is concluded. Certainly, we will continue to closely monitor the situation, end quote. If you are Art Rooney, are you asking your dad, Dan, to come back over and sit Ben down and have a talk with him?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And I told someone that on Friday, that if there's anyone on the planet that can get through to Ben Roethlisberger, it's Dan Rooney. And they need to really find a way to get him to understand that, right or wrong, true or false, whatever he feels like he's been the victim of, assuming he has done nothing, he still needs to adjust his behavior accordingly. And that's the one thing I take away from this most recent incident. He has not learned anything from what happened or what didn't happen or what allegedly happened in Nevada, and he needs to find better ways to avoid the possibility of being on the wrong end of potentially false charges, if they are false.
Mike, you broke the news this morning as well that Ben has hired Ed Garland to represent him in this case. He's also represented the rapper T.I. on weapons charges and, more importantly to football fans, represented Ray Lewis in his murder trial. What do you take from that?
Well, you know, from the standpoint of the courtroom and avoiding legal jeopardy, having Ed Garland, I think, is a huge asset for Ben Roethlisberger. Somebody from one of the other teams sent me a text after that word broke saying, you know, this is going nowhere if Ed Garland's in charge. He's extremely shrewd, and there will be no charges if Ed Garland's involved, by all appearances. But that association with Ray Lewis, there are a lot of people who think that either Ray Lewis or someone in his entourage got away with murder, double murder that night in Atlanta, the night of Super Bowl 34 when the Rams beat the Titans. I just don't know that that's that's a name you want to connect yourself with. And I think that's the harm, the potential harm from the standpoint of the court of public opinion, an entirely different courtroom where the presumption of innocence does not apply, where guilt beyond a reasonable doubt is irrelevant, and where people can come up with whatever crazy assumptions they want to come up with. And I think the court of public opinion, you know, applies the once is an accident, twice is a trend theory, and you've got a lot of people out there now who see this second accusation, and regardless of whether they're true or false, they're gonna think that there's something there.
Mike, if charges are brought up against Big Ben, do you think the Steelers should cut ties with Big Ben?
I don't know that they should cut ties with him based on that. You know, I've been critical of the Steelers in the past because if it's a backup, long snapper, whatever, and he does something, he's gone. When it's a guy who's a key contributor, there's an excuse that's made. So if this had been Charlie Batch, I think he'd already be gone, even without a charge being filed. But the real issue, I think, is going to be what will the league office do if Ben Roethlisberger would be charged, if he would be indicted by a grand jury in Georgia for sexual assault. When you look at the precedent that was set when Michael Vick was indicted, you know, people think that he was suspended by the league once he pleaded guilty. He was suspended indefinitely once he was indicted. And I think it would create, at a minimum, an interesting question as to how the league would proceed under those circumstances, because I could see people of reasonable mind disagreeing on which alleged crime is worse, dogfighting or sexual assault.
Mike, the Pittsburgh Steelers still moving in their free agency, signed free agent safety Will Allen. Is this an upgrade or a downgrade from Ryan Clark?
Well, I think as long as Troy Polamalu's healthy, it's a flat line. And, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a downgrade from a talent standpoint, but, you know, you got to factor in the dollars and the budget, the artificial salary cap, whatever they want to call it. But the key is going to be Troy Polamalu. If he can come back and play like he has played in past years, it's not as critical what that other safety's doing.
Mike Florio is our guest from ProFootballTalk.com. Steelers also came to terms with Arnaz Battle today and Jonathan Scott. What do each of these guys bring to the team, Mike?
Arnaz Battle brings the ability to tell Lima Swede that it's over. And one thing about the Steelers that I respect, they will not blindly hold on to a high draft pick simply to justify the fact that they picked a guy in one of the early rounds. I remember Huey Richardson, who was like gone in the blink of an eye in the early 90s. He was a first round pick. You know, if you can't cut it, you are going to be gone. And I think the arrival of Battle means that Lima Swede will not be there when the regular season starts and possibly will be gone even sooner than that.
And Jonathan Scott?
You know what? I got to confess ignorance. I got to look up and see who Jonathan Scott
there you
is.
Go.
I got
yeah.
too many of them I'm trying to keep track of.
There you go.
That tells us a lot right there.
It does. It does tell you about everything you need to know.
He's a homework assignment. I forgot who Jonathan Scott is. I didn't even see him named in the release. I saw the release for Battle and Allen. I didn't see Scott mentioned.
Buffalo. Played eight games with Buffalo last year.
Okay. Well,
offensive lineman.
I don't know who he is.
All right. Let me go back for a second to Lima Swede. What happened with that pick? Because this was a guy heading into camp last year that looked as though not only was he going to be in the starting lineup, they were going to depend on him. And was it just the fact that Mike Wallace showed them enough to get in the lineup, or was there a problem with Sweet?
There's nothing worse that a receiver can do than drop the ball.
Yep.
Because that's a given. By the time you get to the NFL level, you have to be able to catch the football. If you cannot catch the football, if you drop balls that are in your hands, you are not going to last long unless you have blazing speed like Troy Williamson. He's one of the few guys that has been able to hang around despite, you know, balls bouncing off of his face mask. Now, with that said, you just never know with a receiver. And I wrote something the other day about this, looking at the names of the first round, not second round, but first round receivers over the past decade who have never turned into anything. Because one of the questions teams are asking themselves now, do I use a first-round pick or maybe a first- and a third-round pick to get Brandon Marshall, Miles Austin, Vincent Jackson? And the answer is absolutely yes. If you find a guy who can bust through that ceiling, that vague ceiling that resides between the NCAA level and the NFL level and become a very good NFL player, you give up a first-round pick if you can get him. Because you use that first-round pick, you have no idea what that guy's going to be. And that same theory applied to Lima Swede. He had a lot of potential, but for whatever reason, it's yet to translate. And it looks like he's run out of chances.
Mike, it's always good to get your opinion. Thank you, man.
All right, good talking to you guys.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Steelers' new offensive line coach Sean Coogler was up in Buffalo last season. He got a good look at Jonathan Scott. That's probably why Jonathan Scott inked to a deal today.
And you
with
said
the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mike Tomlin was the secondary coach in Tampa when Will Allen was drafted.
So that
by the
tells
Bucks,
you a little
right?
something about that signing as well.
My name is Woodrow W. Blue Jr. I'm the police chief here for the city of Minnesville, Georgia. With me, I have Special Agent Tom Davis, Special Agent in charge of the GBI office here in Minnesville. I would like to just update everyone on the allegations concerning Ben Roethlisberger. Over the weekend, we have continued to interview witnesses. We have been in touch with Ben Roethlisberger's attorney, Mr. Ed Garland. They are cooperating with us in this investigation. As a matter of fact, this morning, we were talking to Mr. Ed Garland, and he's in the process of making arrangements for us to talk with Mr. Roethlisberger and all the individuals that are with him in the party on the night of the incident. We anticipate that these interviews will be in the next 2 to 3 days. At this time, it was in my prepared statement. I will take 2 or 3 questions.
What does that mean that they're cooperating?
They are helping in the investigation.
Do you answer
them like that? Not at this time.
Will you ask for those?
Pardon me?
Will you ask for those for DNA samples from the
hospital? Yes, at some point.
If you take it to the hospital, what was her condition, and did you see any evidence at the hospital?
We're not getting into specific details at this time. We're still into the investigative process of this investigation.
Chief, could you possibly verify whether this was a rape or sexual assault, or can you characterize what exactly happened?
Again, we're not getting into the specific allegations at this time.
You anticipate bringing Mr. Roethlisberger back to Milledgeville?
We're anticipating interviewing him at some point in the next couple of days.
Why was he released in the first place, Chief Blue?
Pardon? On this side, I'm sorry.
Chief Blue, have you interviewed
Excuse me, someone?
Friday? That was the question I'm asking. Have you interviewed Roethlisberger since the early morning for Friday?
No, we have not.
And do you plan to interview him here, or will it take place?
We're not going to disclose at this time the location of that interview. One more question.
The club has tapes.
Did the victim identify Roethlisberger as the potential suspect?
Yes, she did.
The club has tapes.
And at that time, that would be the end of the press conference. Thank you.
Can we talk
Mr.
to
Mr. Davis? Take a few questions?
Yes.
Mr. Davis, the club has tapes, surveillance tapes, about a dozen cameras. Have you obtained any tapes from the investigation?
We're still in the process of looking at various businesses in Milledgeville and videos that they have. We are aware of that, and that has been looked into. But as far as what the contents are, we're not going to go into anything dealing with any of the investigative facts that have been done at this particular time.
Have you interviewed the accuser?
Have I personally?
Has your department?
There has been contact between our departments and the accuser, yes.
How would you look at her credibility, sir? Is her credibility good?
I'm not going to go into what her credibility is.
Does she have legal representation?
Yes, she does.
Can you tell us the name of the attorney?
No, I cannot.
Can you describe her demeanor on Thursday night, Friday morning, when she first came?
No, I can't. I wasn't here. And as far as what her demeanor was or what her emotional state was, that's not something that we'll discuss out here either.
Sir, did she submit to a blood alcohol test herself?
I'm not sure.
How many interviews do you expect?
Last question, Dave.
This will be the last question. We anticipate probably 8 interviews. And we will hopefully be doing those in the next 2 or 3 days. Thank you.
It's 1250 ESPN. We just heard a live press conference from Milledgeville, Georgia. The chief of police in Milledgeville, Woodrow Blue, was the voice you heard addressing reporters, taking some questions. And then we heard a representative of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Nothing new to report. Ben Roethlisberger not charged with any crime. Investigation ongoing. The district attorney handling the sexual assault allegations against Ben Roethlisberger issued a statement just prior to the press conference you just heard at 1250 ESPN. And his statement says this: the investigation is ongoing. It'd be premature to make any announcement at this time. When the facts are in, decisions made, we'll let you know. That's from Frederick Bright, district attorney down there in the Okmulgee Judicial Court.
Love the Georgia names, man. Yeah. Love the Georgia names. You can't help but
Woodrow Blue.
Yeah, when you can't help when you're saying these names that sound like you're from Georgia.
Emoji.
Mm-hmm. Art Rooney II for the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier today made this statement. All of us in the Steelers family are concerned with the recent incident involving Ben Roethlisberger in Georgia. We cannot comment on any of the specifics or, as the chief of police in Georgia said, Pacifics. Until law enforcement's investigation is concluded, certainly we will continue to closely monitor the situation. Your reaction now, 412-333-ESPN. I'll tell you what I think of all this. It's a case of public perception of a public figure. It's not so much a case of crime or charges or the court system at this point in time. That may change over the next couple of days. But you have the perception of a guy who's not only a high-profile sports figure in Pittsburgh, but one of the most beloved sports figures in Pittsburgh. Kurt joins us now at 333-ESPN. What's up, Kurt?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, what's going on right now with Ben, even if if nothing's brought up against him and there's no charges and he gets away, I still think people have to question his character at this point. I mean, it's the second case within 8 months. I mean, you know, granted, he's a 20-year-old single man and he's having a good time, but people got to start wondering what kind of guy he is outside, off the football field, outside of work.
To have allegations of sexual assault brought up against you doesn't jive for me with having a good time and being 28 years old. There's a big difference. Huge difference. Huge difference.
You know, it's being in that predicament when I was younger in my life and in my career, you don't make the wisest of decisions. But you draw a line, and you have to be conscious of what you're doing, who's around you, because you know that you're going to be accountable for it. Just like if you were a regular human being, but with the heightened emphasis on professional athletes as public figures, you have to be responsible for your choices.
Not just the heightened emphasis on sports figures as all around celebrities, but the fact that you just went through this 7 months ago. Again, I'm not asking the guy to hole up in a closet somewhere and hide from the world, but better decisions have to be made when you're out in public. Whether you like the fact that you're a celebrity and you have to change your life or not, guess what? You have to change your life.
And if you're an employer and you're paying a guy $100 million, you expect the guy to have a certain way of acting. Do not put your investment in jeopardy. And so we go to the bigger picture. If indeed no charges are filed, and it looks as though at this point in time, Ed Garland has been hired by Roethlisberger as his lawyer. From what I could gather from Police Chief Blue in the press conference, it sounded to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's just the way I was taking it, as though Ed Garland was calling the shots.
You know what it sounded like to me? And this is just taking this all from watching it on the screen as it unfolded and listening to it at the same time. It looked to me like, I didn't catch the name of the man from the Georgia Bureau of Investigations.
Me neither.
The second man you heard talk after Chief Blue. But it sounded to me like he, and after the comments that Ed Garland is coming in and sort of quote-unquote calling the shots, sounds to me like this is a case where the investigators are kind of put off by the city slicker lawyer coming in to try and take over. And maybe that's just what it sounded and looked like to me. And I wonder how that affects the case as it goes forward.
Because Andy and Barney appear to be less than bright on TV, don't automatically assume that, judging from these guys you saw today. Tony joins us now, 333-ESPN. What's up, Tony?
Hey, I'm just curious. You know, you hear these stories about how Ben runs out on tabs at restaurants and bar bills and things like that. Is there any substantiation to these things?
I don't know.
Have you heard those rumors?
No, I hadn't.
Okay. I mean, I was listening to, I think, you know, another radio station earlier today. You know, people are calling in. I guess maybe everybody's coming out now. There are stories about everyone.
But you know what? This is interesting, Tony, that you bring this up, because it's funny how public opinion, and we're coming to go back to public opinion, can turn on a dime. And anybody that's ever been shorted on a tab by Ben Roethlisberger, anybody that's ever been in a club where he didn't automatically bow down and sign your autograph and treat you like the greatest person on earth, they're all now going to come out of the woodwork to tell you what a bad guy he is. It's funny. You reach a pinnacle, and we watch it time and time again. You reach a pinnacle in stardom, and as soon as it turns the other way, woo, boy, yeah, people jump on that bandwagon.
And it can happen to anybody. You know what I mean? It could be the Pope, for God's sake. Oh, you know what? He didn't wash his hands before he served me that communion wafer. I mean, kinds of stupid little things start to come out.
I mean, regardless of those situations, I've had someone in a restaurant, a waitress, come to me and say, I know how much money you make. I've seen, how much money you make in the paper. It's public record. Why didn't I get, you're supposed to tip me more than this. They want more than a 20%. Your service didn't warrant you getting a bigger tip. So those things will happen, and then, people are going to take note of that. I got a guy who swears he delivered me a pizza and says, well, you didn't tip me, or you didn't tip me enough.
Right, and a 10 or 15% tip turns into you ran out on a bill, which turns into you did this and then you did that. And it's playing the telephone game like you did in third grade. Everything gets passed around and everything gets warped, and all of a sudden...
Let me ask you straight up. What do you do if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers about this situation? Let's play this out this way. Let's say there's no charges.
Okay.
Let's say there's no charges. Let's say they investigate, they find out that... Well, maybe nothing happened. There's not enough to bring charges. They put it to bed. They put it to rest. That's best case scenario for Ben Roethlisberger at this point in time. What do you do if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers?
The first thing that has to happen is Mr. Rooney has to sit down one-on-one with Ben Roethlisberger and have a conversation. Then there has to be some verbiage or understanding between Ben and Mr. Rooney about his behavior, his character, the way he represents himself, because you are an employee of the Pittsburgh Steelers. All the contract language about conduct detrimental and how open that is, it has to be more specific. And I think Ben has to understand. He has to give Mr. Rooney his word and change this. He has to change it around. You can no longer go out to these clubs and bars and those things. And yes, it's telling you how to live your personal life, because it's obvious that you're getting put into these situations. So now you have to look at the big picture, Ben, and understand. And this is Mr. Rooney talking to him one-on-one. And that understanding has to come right there.
412-333-ESPN. Those are the numbers to call. Your reaction today, the press conference just held in Milledgeville, Georgia. Matt joins us now to talk to us on The Drive. What's up, Matt?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Good. How about yourself?
Good.
Hey, my fiance works at a country club. I won't give the name away, but she works out on the golf course.
Is it Jenny?
No, sir.
Oh, you mean her name. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the name of the... Go ahead.
No. Anyway, he's been out probably 3 years ago and then last year, actually. And he said a couple... Big Ben has come out with members there, and he said a couple things to her, a couple sexual remarks that I never particularly liked. I love him as my quarterback. He's winning me Super Bowls. Bottom line, I think the guy's a pig. I think he needs to quit putting himself in the kind of situations that he's doing. But look at his track record. I don't think that it's just coincidence and it's girls accusing him. I think the guy's actually a pig.
Thank you. You know what? Here we go.
This is a perfect example.
It's a great example, and it's a perfect example of how this is going to be played out in public. No matter what the situation is legally, this is a perfect situation. If he ever shorted you on a tip, if he ever said something nasty to your girlfriend, if he ever didn't turn to face you when you were shouting, hey, 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 it's all going to come out, and you're going to get an entire wave of people coming out of the woodwork to tell you what a bad guy he is.
Right. Let's spin it 180 degrees, though, because there are people out there who I'm sure love and admire Ben, whether he did something with a charity that they're involved with or helped them in some way or just stopped to sign an autograph for him at training camp.
Right.
How do those people? I mean, there are tons of people out there who are quick to make a snap judgment and say, oh, that guy was a pig. I knew it all along. Sure. What about the people who would normally stand by him? I want to see how those people are reacting today.
You know, it's funny. I mean, I've been out with Ben around Pittsburgh. I've been out with Ben in Vegas and L.A. and all those different places. And it's one thing to be out and about by people who, know you and just want to be around you and all that stuff that comes with having that notoriety. But these are choices that he has to control and make about who he's, linking himself with. These are decisions he has to make. And that's why I said something has to change with him. You know, regardless of what he does, something has to change with him and his decision making and choices.
It's The Drive here at The Voice of Pittsburgh Sports. Marty joins us now, 333-ESPN. What's up, Marty?
Yeah, a family I know was at TF Chang's, and Ben came in with a couple guys, sat down next to him. They didn't bother him while he was eating. When they got up to leave, the waiter come over and said he picked up their check.
Yeah.
You can't believe everything you hear.
Absolutely. There's right. It's a balance. There's a balance on both sides.
And I want to know what those people
and even
think today. I do.
And I got news for you. If he's an impolite bastard when he's out in public and shorts people on checks, I don't care. I don't care. It's great for you to tell us these stories and give us sort of a background on the guy's personality. Doesn't matter to me. Can he throw touchdowns? That's what I care about. But when you cross the line, which sexual assault is crossing the line, if indeed he did, then I got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got a problem. You want to short somebody on a check? You're cheap? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I don't care. Plenty of cheap people out there. I've waited tables. He's not the only one.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe your service didn't warrant.
Or maybe you got diarrhea. Or maybe whatever. You're having a bad day. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me how you act in public, honestly. But when you cross, that's a line that you do not cross. And it's not only a judgment situation, and many of us have been through similar situations. It's not just the judgment of that particular situation. It's coming off the tail end of having just been through this to put yourself in a similar situation again.
Maybe it's wrong, but if I were him after the McNulty thing came out, I'd be scared to walk outside my door for fear that I'd be, especially if he's totally innocent in the McNulty case.
That means that people are coming after you for the money, and that's even worse.
Exactly.
And I said this on Friday. You know how you avoid this? You do the Michael Jordan thing. And I'm sorry if that bothers you. It's something you put up with when you make $100 million
exactly.
As a public figure. You just got to put yourself up in the high castle and invite your friends over. I mean, it's simple, but it is what it is. It's 1250 ESPN.